Let's begin with a word of prayer, please. Let's pray. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all hearts here present are pleasing to you, O Lord, and my rock and my redeemer. Father, I now seek your Holy Spirit. I ask that your Holy Spirit descend upon me, envelop me, and place your words in my mouth. Take away my words, my thoughts, my ideas, and please remove distraction and temptation that at this time, Lord, these people hear you as you use my voice. I pray for these listeners, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit descend upon and envelop them. There are some here, Lord, who may be doubting your word. Some may be strong in their faith. Others maybe don't even know you. Whomever these people are, Lord, you know them. You have called them by name. I pray that your Spirit work mightily in their hearts to begin faith, to grow faith, to resolve doubts. And Father, I pray that this message be all about you and not about me. Take away my pride, my arrogance, my ego, my selfishness. Take away my need to be told that this is a good sermon, that in this message, Lord, your name is praised and glorified in the crucified and risen Christ proclaimed. In the awesome and most precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please stand for the text. The text for this morning is part of the Gospel of John that was read just a few moments ago. We'll begin at verse 17 and conclude with verse 21. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all become one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. The text and title for this message this morning was not chosen by me. This was chosen last May by our spiritual life students at the Concordia campus. Each and every year this is done by them. They meet over a series of weeks, starting off with a big, large whiteboard, and each student shows up with a theme and a text, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, it gets worked down to what it is. And this year it is this: together, set apart. I want to focus on a few words at the beginning and how you and I are together, but yet we are set apart. I've always noticed that in Scripture, if a word is mentioned close to a couple of times or three times or four times, close to one another, it must mean something. And Jesus says here in verse 17, the very first word is sanctify them, you, me. You know, this prayer that he's praying is right after he instituted the Lord's Supper and right before he's arrested and later taken to the cross. So Jesus says to his Father in his prayer, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." And then later he says, "I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth." What in the world does the word sanctify mean? It means to be made holy. I want you to think about this for a moment. Even though we live in different places, even though we look different, we think different, we act different, we may vote different, we are made holy by God. You, I, in our baptism, when the word of God attached to that water is poured over us and sin is washed away and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and enters your heart and your soul and your mind, brings faith, begins faith, and grows faith, you have been made holy in God's sight. Yes, you are a sinner. Yes, you are conceived and born a sinner. But you have been made holy, not by anything you've done. After all, we do remember what Paul writes. It is by grace that you've been saved not of works, lest anyone would boast. You have been made holy by God. And how did that happen? As Missouri Synod Lutherans, we believe, teach, and confess that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He left His heavenly home, came down from heaven to earth, born of the Virgin Mary in a stable, and He lived a perfect life. He kept the law perfectly, knowing that you and I can't. It's impossible for us. And Jesus Christ, God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was crucified on the cross of Calvary. Now, friends, that's something we don't get in 21st century America, crucifixion. It may be the most barbaric of deaths. Jesus didn't die from the pain of the nails driven into His hands or into His feet. He suffocated to death. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days after that death, after taking the sins of the world, your sins and my sins, the sins you committed 10 minutes before getting here today, the sins you'll commit 10 minutes after leaving here today, those sins, all those sins, Jesus took to the cross with Him. And 3 days after He died, by the power of His Father, He was raised to life, and thereby He overcame sin, death, and the power of the evil one. This Jesus. This God. Our God. This God that, as Missouri Synod Lutherans, we believe, teach, and confess, that is the Savior of the world. Holy. You know, the word holy is not used very often. You know, as I look at this big Bible here, it says Holy Bible. As I look at my Bible here, it says Holy Bible. But the word holy isn't used much. Maybe sometimes as a derogatory term toward you. You may say, well, that's not the right thing to do. And somebody will respond, well, look at you, oh, holier than thou. But the word holy is used a lot. I was conceived and born a sinner. I was conceived and born a Missouri Synod Lutheran. And I was conceived and born a Chicago Cubs baseball fan. In fact, my wife and I, when we leave here today, are heading to Chicago. We're taking a game in tomorrow night. But the Hall of Fame broadcaster that used to broadcast for the Chicago Cubs was a guy by the name of Harry Carey. And he would always say, holy cow! I say, holy cats. And since we're close by, you may say, holy Toledo. My wife very often will say, holy moly. So I ask all of you, what's a moly? Holy. Ever think of yourself as holy? I don't think of myself as holy. But yet that's what God has called me to be, in His image. You know, that's right. God created you and I in His image. God created you to be like Him. In fact, I used to say in my congregation in the state up north, I used to say to them all the time, if God has a refrigerator, your picture is on it. Holy. And we are set apart. We're set apart from the world because, friends, we have laws and standards and God's word to live up to. And, friends, we can't do that. We know that. But that's what we have to live up to. We should be different than the world. We should act different. We should think different. We should speak differently. We should stand up for God. I believe every place of business around Napoleon, Ohio should have a big sign that says, we want Christ followers to work here. See, Christ followers are different. We don't show up late for work. We don't leave work early. We don't take a paperclip home. And we never lie. We speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. See, we are set apart. Set apart by God to do something very powerful in His name. Jesus, in this prayer, says, "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." And verse 20, "I do not ask only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." See, friends, you and I have an obligation. You and I have been made holy in the name of Christ, holy by God, set apart by God to be different in the world, but in the world to bring others to Jesus Christ. At the congregation I used to pastor, they started something new. At the end of the service, the pastor says, "Our job is to know Christ," and the congregation responds, "and to make Christ known." So I'm not looking for an answer here, but a rhetorical question. How are you all doing with that? How are you doing with making Christ known? This past academic year, started a couple of weeks ago, we opened Michigan's newest nursing school. Amazing place to look at. Absolutely amazing. Blows my socks off every time I walk into the place. It's just unbelievable. And there was a woman at my former congregation, Sarah, remind me later. You may remember her. First name was Elizabeth. I don't know, maybe she's married now, a couple of kids. And she said to me, "Pastor, I made some decisions. I've decided I'm in school. I'm at Wayne County Community College. Want to go into nursing?" And I said, "How about Concordia?" She says, "Well, I think I'm going to go on to Wayne State." And I said, "That's great. That's a terrific nursing school. But let me ask you this, Liz. I have one powerful question for you. What's that? At Wayne State University, are they going to teach you to pray with your patients?" Boy, this look came over her face like, "Boy, I never thought of it." I said, "We do. It's part of our curriculum. And yes, we are a full-service university. If you want to be a teacher, you can come to our school. You want to go into business, you can come to our school. Want to be an athletic trainer, you can come to our school. Want to be a biologist, you can come to our school. Want to be in music, you can come to our school. But in our school, Christ is not something that it is a, well, we used to be sort of affiliated, kind of. We are overt about our faith at Concordia University in Ann Arbor. Over the last 3 years, chapel service has doubled. Attendance at chapel service, wouldn't that be great if that happened here? Wouldn't that be wonderful, Pastor? In the next 3 years, all of a sudden you got twice as many. Man, you'd have to add more room, more services. What a great problem to have. But you see, friends, that is our role at Concordia University. That is your role as members at St. John Lutheran Church in Napoleon, Ohio. Your job is to make Christ known. Jesus is sending you out into the world, where you live, where you work, where you shop, where you go to school, where you play. Jesus is sending you to bring others to Him. My former senior pastor, when I was at St. Paul in Trenton, Michigan, said to me many, many times, he said, "John, our job is to depopulate hell." Well, that's really the Spirit's job. I can't make anybody believe, but I sure can proclaim His word. We are together, friends. We're together as one in the song that we just sang. We are together as brothers and sisters in Christ. But we're set apart from the world to be different in the world. And yet, we are sent out into the world because we are His. So be it. Amen.